Hello and welcome to the Naked Englishman podcast. I'm Richard Vobes and this is the audio diary of my life and behind the scenes, I suppose, of a YouTube creator. I'm actually recording this on Thursday for Friday. I thought probably the best thing to do, as I've got a few minutes, is to record when I can do it rather than in the mornings, because as you will have observed, I seem to not be able to get it done in the morning, and then everything goes out the window and then I don't get any done. So I thought I'd do this today and then post it tomorrow. So, and we'll see how this goes. There will be absences. One of the problems I have, and so far cannot seem to find a solution for, is my laptop that I take occasionally around when I'm over, you know, staying at places like at events and things, and we've been put up in a hotel, is it uses an Ubuntu software. I think that's Linux, and it doesn't use the Windows stuff. And I'm looking to find a reliable, cheap, if not free, version of an FT program so I can upload the Naked Englishman podcast to that when I'm away. And so far, I've not been very successful in finding something, which is a very irritating thing. I may have another look shortly. But yes, yeah, so far I haven't managed to find one, because then I can put the details in and upload the Naked Englishman. It would be far easier to do that, especially when we're staying over on the land in the caravan. So that would be quite good, because I'd love to sort of walk around the site, the land rather. I don't like the word site. It makes it sound like a building site. It's not a building site. It's a growing land. It's a mini farm. I can't call it a homestead because it isn't our home. And, you know, we are sort of looking to see if we can find a property nearer the land, so that we could potentially sell my house here, and well, we'd have to sell my house here and buy something. And really, I suppose we don't need a big house, obviously, because we'll be spending so much time on the land. But that would be a solution to the long distance that we have to do, and the caravan would still be useful as a overnight or cooking meals in the evening and things like that. But that, I think, is a bit of a long or mid-term project, because house prices are expensive. My house is very cluttered. I've got to declutter it, and so on and so forth. So it's not so easy to do that. So the caravan is a sort of interim issue. Now, one of the issues, another issue that I wanted to talk about is I've got my book, Biggleswick, The Town That Wouldn't Comply, and I had great fun writing that, but it is quite time-consuming. And self-publishing is difficult because unless you use places like Amazon to put it on, you've got to print all the copies. Well, that's a lot of money invested in something that you may or may not sell. Now, I've nearly sold all of the first lot, but I suppose I'm a bit worried now about trying to get another batch printed, because sales of the book are sort of dribbling out. Now, I'm sure that sales would be much bigger, because there's a lot of people interested in sovereignty and some of the ideas I've looked at over the last 3 years, and the fictional tale sort of put some of those into context in what would be a real life situation, albeit a fictional real life situation, if you see what I mean. People face certain problems, and it's a way of expressing how some of these things may or may not work. Of course, it's fiction, so I'm not saying that any of them will work, because sadly, I think we do know that while, let's put it in a different way, while these are, let's say, philosophical ideas, about who actually owns the earth. And for example, council tax, which is a bone of contention for a lot of people, particularly as the council's approach is quite heavy-handed. I mean, I have alluded them to as a mafia, because I understand the need to have people in the town help support what the town is doing and making a contribution. I absolutely get that and understand that and think that's probably a good thing. We all want bins collected, we want lighting, we want the roads swept, we want the parks clean and tidy and available, and we want the our elders looked after properly, etc., etc. So there's a lot of services that need to be done. However, it does seem that many of the councils, if not all of them, act in a way with instructions from central government that hasn't really come from the people. And so therefore, it's difficult when, if the people of the town are not represented properly, then you argue, why are you giving them all the money to do things if they're not listening? And you can see that in a number of videos online where people are asking the council at public meetings and they are effectively pushed aside or not given the time to talk. Now, whether you agree with the questions that the people are asking or not is kind of irrelevant, because people should be able to voice all their opinions. And I think that all opinions should be listened to, whether you agree with them or not. That is a, I won't use the word democracy, in a fair world, because everybody's living there and everybody's got a differences of opinion. Anyway, so the council is just is an example. And in my mind, I would like to be able to see a choice. For example, you might not want certain type of lighting. LED lighting might be cheap, but it might also damage the retina. I'm not saying it does, but some people have alluded to that fact that it's not as good as certain other lighting. 5G is very questionable to a lot of people, and they've gone up really without anybody being able to really protest on the planning or make their worries known and listened to. Same with a lot of the net zero policies that have been brought in, that a number of people, maybe only a small minority of people, but those people do have to live in a place where these things are put up. And as every town seems to be in lockstep, it's very difficult then for people to say, well, where do I live where I don't have to have some of these things that seem to be mandatory, and not you're not able to question it. There's a whole host of other things that I won't get into, but you know, with the council tax, you have no choice but to pay, or you have to take other action. And there's a lot of people who are questioning a number of those things. Anyway, I suppose I don't know where I was going with this now, because I've lost my thread. I was looking out the window and was just distracted by something, which is probably not a good idea to do as I'm sitting here trying to record something. Anyway, my book illustrates some of these issues and problems, and I enjoyed writing it. This is the main thread, what I'm trying to get to. Now, I enjoy writing, and I'm not quite sure what to do in terms of publishing the book, because I do believe in independence. I believe that small firms and entrepreneurs and people who want to promote things for themselves should have just the same opportunity as some of the big corporations. Now, places like Amazon have cornered the market, we all know that, and a number of other larger corporations seem to be buying up and taking over this world. Whether we think that's a good idea or a bad idea, I personally think it's a bad idea, but we, you know, there ought to be available a way of promoting yourself and doing it. Now, on my main channel, where I have in the past talked about a number of the things that which would be in Biggleswick, for example, in that channel, I have 300,000 subscribers. So that's interesting. I mean, that's a lot of people who have similar thoughts or who are curious to the sort of things I've been talking about. Now, that does that. They can't all be nutters, you know. They have equally concerns. I've met many of these viewers at events, and I can tell you they're not nutters. They're concerned people who have perhaps a different perspective to the mainstream media and the mainstream narrative. And I think everybody has a right, as I say, to have their own independent thoughts. But I don't want to put my book on Amazon, because it is a big corporation and they make more profit than I, although I might get more sales. And I guess the issue that I have is one has to do all the marketing. Now, I appreciate if you put it on Amazon, they will market it to a small degree, but it is available to buy easily and people are used to using the apps and everything else. It's just a platform. And people have got so used to using platforms rather than seeking out individuals and going directly to individuals. And I think in some ways that's a shame. It is convenient, of course, and I appreciate that most people don't have the time. And I know that I have done the same. I mean, you're kind of forced to. It's like using YouTube. You put your videos on YouTube because if I put it on my own server, nobody will ever know it's there, even though I'm trying to, you know, be as independent as one can. So to a certain degree, you do have to use some of these things. But it's not, you know, it comes with downsides as well as upsides. So the point I'm really trying to get to is that I would like to write more books. And I'm writing another book. It's been sort of on and off. And I've mentioned it on here before about it's based in the Second World War. And really what I wanted to do was to tell a story that takes place in the Second World War on a farm and the characters in it, and compare the lifestyle and the freedoms with today and the sort of more rules and regulations and the permissions that seem to come in. And you know, living in a very complicated world that we seem to have been shoehorned into under the guise of convenience. Now, I'm sure that many people would disagree with me, and that's fine. But there will be, again, a minority, perhaps, that sort of look back and think, well, life did seem to be a lot simpler. It may not have been as convenient, but sometimes I think convenience is the same as dumbing down. We spend so much time in front of screens, for example, and not enough time out and about. And you could take the argument of podcasts as well, audio podcasts, which now, when you talk to somebody about a podcast, they immediately think of a video in which two people are talking and discussing something, or not necessarily two people, or one person is putting a point of view over, but on YouTube, rather than when it originated as an audio-only thing. And I discovered in my journey, of course, into audio, is that people take audio as a freely offered thing because it's deemed to be very simple to make and not as easy. Whereas video is a bit more tricky to do and therefore could be paid for, or at least have advertising on it. Now I think audio is a far superior media than video, because the pictures are in the listener's head, and just like reading, there is a little bit of work involved and also concentration, and you can have longer format and a much looser format in many ways than having to be fixed looking at a screen, which these days seems to be much more on your phone or tablet. But either way, you're forced in some respect to look at the screen. Whereas audio can be put on headphones back in the day on an MP3 player, and you can go for a walk and etc. Now, I know that some people, of course, will be doing their video of interviewing somebody or talking about something and putting it on YouTube and then stripping the audio out and turning it into a podcast and putting it on places like Spotify. So I do understand that there is a place still for audio, but I don't think it's as prevalent as YouTube. And again, can you make money from it? And I'm not talking about money as in several thousand pounds in terms of a wage, and certainly something like The Naked Englishman, which is just me talking for, you know, 10 to 20 minutes or so, is probably something that you couldn't ask money for. And I understand that. However, I'm rambling a little bit because I'm trying to get to the point that I'm trying to get to. I mean, audio books is one area where, of course, people will pay, again, through a platform like Amazon, that you would purchase for a smallish price, and you can then take that book away and listen to it. Although with Amazon now, I understand that on the Kindle, and I would imagine that's, well, probably because it's got some form of copyright protection on it, the audio has to remain on the Amazon servers, so that you have to be connected to the internet. Now, I'm not quite sure. I know that Kindle with their books have made it so you don't actually download the book and keep it on your Kindle. And I don't know quite how the podcasting world is organized now, because I've sort of moved away from that really when it became clear that it was very difficult to get listeners to build an audience. It's always been difficult in the podcasting world, because initially people didn't understand what a podcast was. Anyway, as I say, I'm straying all around the houses at the moment. I apologise for that, because this is a sort of rambling thing, and you all understand what The Naked Englishman is. But I would like to write a second book and have it self-published, but I don't want to put it on a platform like Amazon. Traditional publishing is very difficult to get into, unless these days it's a very commercial project. I think there is still a slur against people who publish their own work, as in vanity publishing, and they say, oh no, you know, if it's published properly, it means that somehow it's approved. Well, one would say that actually, if you go back to early days of printing, people had to pay or got a number of people to become sponsors of a book. And so it wasn't really published as such by publishers. It was an individual thing. And you had people handing out broadsheets and pamphlets and small books and things. And everything was vanity publishing, because people wanted to get the message out. And people, I suppose, are vanity publishing in one way or another if they put things on YouTube or as a podcast, because you're doing it out of your own pocket, so to speak, you know, the content. But so the question is, what do you do if you want to be an independent? It's very difficult. And that's the challenge, I suppose. Now, all of this, let's put all this on one side for the moment, because I would love to do this other book. But at the time, at the moment, I'm so busy with the land project because we've got to get the infrastructure in place, and it's very basic infrastructure, really. But I don't have a lot of money. But I do know that there will be a food shortage. There's whatever is going on in the Middle East, and I haven't listened to the news, so I don't really know the full details of it at all. I don't need any of the details, other than people are aware, of course, that the price of diesel has put up, and hence anything now being ordered that needs to be delivered will have an increase in the cost on that. So it's going to increase on everything, including food that we've been so used to having being transported from all parts of the world. And just like in the First World War and in the Second World War, more obviously, is that getting supplies from the rest of the world in times of crisis is a problem. We no longer, as a country, spend enough time valuing food and growing food. And so this is what Julia and I are trying to do, is to be not completely self-sufficient, but to have some grasp on being able to feed ourselves, at least in things that we can grow. We will obviously be self-reliant on many others, particularly in meat and things like that, because we haven't got any animals. And I think the land that we have is too small. We are not living on the land. And, you know, even chickens will require you being there 24/7 in terms of living, so that you can put them in at night time and take them out in the morning and all of that. Anyway, what I'm trying to get to is I want to write this other book because I enjoy it, and I want to promote the Biggleswick book, but finding the time to do either at the moment is very tricky. I suppose that's what I'm trying to say. And I don't know whether one should go down the line of... and I should also add, of course, that people don't read as much as they once did. The screens and the distraction of the screens means that it's far easier to watch something, or indeed listen to something, than read and sit down with a book. It is, of course, a lot cheaper to produce audiobooks. The problem with anything that's digitized, it would seem, is that you cannot completely control its, what are you saying, its security, its privacy, its saleability. A book published from myself, there is only the book. People can only get it from me. Now, they could pass it on, or they could digitize it, I suppose, and put it online and steal the content. That's true. It's a bit of a fag for someone to do it, but it would be possible. But from me, you get the book. You get a signed copy. Everybody has a signed copy. And a personal message inside the inside cover to that person to make it as unique as possible. If I was to record audio, which I think people have said to me that I do record books quite nicely, and that I've got a good voice for it, etc., when I'm reading, and put the emphasis in the places that they were intended, and so on and so forth. The problem is, if you put it out as an MP3 that people can listen to, people, of course, can copy it so easily, pass it round, and the originator gets very little. Well, gets nothing if that happens. And whilst I'm not greedy, it takes a time to not only write a book, it takes a lot of time to write a book and have it proofread, and then to record it equally so that it is in a listenable state as professionally as you can, also takes a lot of time. and an investment. Time is an investment. And if in the air, which is why I've not done this audiobook yet, I'd love to do it if I A, found the time to do it, but B, the worry is that you do it and people will just go, oh, I can give you a copy of Vobes' book, and it would be passed from pillar to post. This is the problem with anything that you put up online, which of course with the YouTube videos, people copy my videos, they download them, they share them, they put them around, and that wasn't really the problem. I'm demonetized now on YouTube. Funnily enough, not so much because of what I say, but it was more what guests have said have caused YouTube to consider the channel containing harmful content, which in itself is a bit of an irony. So they won't monetize it because it's harmful, but they're happy to have it on the channel because they don't mind harmful content, as they call it, on the channel if it's not monetized, which I think is a strange thing. If they think it's harmful, then you wouldn't think that they would allow it at all, because it would be a reflection of them. Now, I'm not saying I want them to completely close the channel down. I wouldn't say that my current work is harmful in any means. I'm more now talking philosophically. I've spent 3 years looking at rabbit holes and exploring those. Whether people agree with them or not is up to them. They have to make their own due diligence on what is said, and you do that on anything. You have to do that with any narrative, whether it's come from the mainstream media or independent people or even advertising. You've got to make your own mind up whether a certain product that is advertised to you is all it says it is, whether there are things, you know, they may not specifically lie about something, but they may omit certain negatives about a product. And you can understand advertisers wouldn't want to say certain things about certain products because then they won't sell. But because it's time consuming to create something original, the incentive to create these things that people may like, it's only fair that you would have some remuneration. As I say, I'm not greedy, but it would be nice to get some remuneration, if I can say the word, because if you put something out and it's just copied and you're losing quite a large percentage of the potential revenue, your inclination to make more, that your customers who do like what you do would also be bereft if you felt there was no incentive to do it anymore. So to give that an example, I've been reading quite a few of R.F. Delderfield's work. He was a writer in the 50s and 60s, wrote some fascinating books, lovely story fiction books, and I like his style. I like it, and many other authors who I read. But if they weren't being paid, or they didn't feel that they were being paid enough to cover the time it takes to create the content, they wouldn't do it. And of course, that would mean people like me who enjoy their work would no longer read it. Now, R.F. Delderfield is dead, so he's not writing anymore. And we all know what it's like when whomever it is, whatever the creator is, of a certain piece of work dies or stops, and you think, oh, you know, they died and they're not writing anymore. What a shame, because I like their style, I like their work, and it's very entertaining. And whatever that might be, it could be a favourite actor whose films you enjoy, and for whatever reason he's not doing them, and you think, oh, what a shame, because I like his work. And this, it seems to me, is a bit of a problem with audiobooks. Now, I dare say there is some form of protection, but at the same time, it does. I suppose I'm worrying too much, but a book is far easier protected because excuse me, hang on. Because it's more of an effort to copy it and promote it. Whereas anything digital, of course, you can just send it in an email or on WhatsApp message or a link or whatever. Sorry, something went down my throat the wrong way. So this is, it's a conundrum. Some people may say, well, you're barking up the wrong tree. You know, you should be looking for something that is more commercial if you're looking for a revenue stream. And that's, I absolutely get that. I do understand that. But if you have a skill or a talent, or it's something that you enjoy doing and would like to continue doing, and it's something that takes a bit of time or involves, let's say, materials that you have to buy, whether, I don't know, that's pottery or making sculptures or things that people get a lot of joy from, you need to be able to, you know, pay for the materials or the time to do it. And if people are just able to effectively get the work for free, it puts people off doing those things. And without people doing those things, life is very bland. You know, we've all perhaps got pictures on our walls or objects in our house that mean something to us. It may be a gift that somebody bought, and there's not only is it an original work that nobody else has, like a sculpture or something like that, or a piece of pottery or whatever it is, or some flowers, for example, you know, unique things that really makes life interesting. Because if everybody went to the same shop and bought the same item, life would be very bland. And I think life is becoming blander because of mass production. Now, mass production in some respects clearly is of use to many people because it gets the price down. And for example, young people who are paying through the nose on mortgages at the moment may find it very difficult to furnish their house without the use of some of these lower budget mass produced items. And I absolutely understand that and get that. But those same people might want a couple of bespoke items in their house, which when they have friends and family, you know, can show off, that gives them pleasure because it's not an identikit house to somebody else. And some of those things may well be free, like a piece of driftwood, for example, that looks just lovely and it's a unique piece. And you may even, if you've got the skill, carve it into something or add something or paint it or do something to it to make it even more interesting so that, you know, you've got pleasure from it. And those coming round look at it and go, well, that's really lovely. And they get pleasure out of it. I don't know if what I'm saying is making any sense. To keep life interesting, I think we do need to support independence because it stops life being bland. It gives life meaning. Now, I'm sure that my books and my work doesn't give life very much meaning, and I'm not trying to in any way say that it does. But of course, there are some people, I mean, they have come back to me having read Biggleswick and said, really enjoyed that, loved the writing style, enjoyed the ideas, and would like to read another book. And I would like to service those people, if you'd excuse that terminology, and be able to do it. But again, certain things, like writing a book, take time. It's a skill that I hope to improve on by doing more writing. And of course, I'm very busy at the moment, but I can see a time in the future when a couple of hours a day one could spend writing and putting together another book, etc. And I've got loads of story ideas in my head, but it's a question of ensuring that you're not either doing something nobody actually wants, and again, rumination for something gives you an idea that people actually want something. You know, if you wrote a book, for example, or you did a bit of pottery and nobody was interested at all, just said it was hideous or it's just rubbish, and nobody was going to buy it, you would realise that there was no market for it and there'd be pointless doing it. But if you do something that people do want, but people also go, well, I can just get it over here. I don't have to pay for it because money is tight at the moment. Money is tight for everybody. Anyway, that's just a little issue that I have with my books, but I'm sure many other people also have the same issue and problem unless they go onto a platform like things like Etsy and other platforms. But even these platforms, I've noticed, which start out as champions for independent and creative people and artistic people and craftsmen and so on, start, in order to make more of a profit, they start to have all sorts of perhaps mass media, not mass produced products on there, which kind of takes away the essence of what some of these places are. And so then it's not really serving those independent people anymore. Anyway, I've waffled on quite a bit, and I don't know what the answer is at the moment, but I thought I'd share those thoughts with you and see what you think, really. Anyway, there may be people listening who have similar problems or similar issues or would like to go in a certain direction or want to start up a business doing such and such, whatever it is, and are reflecting, how do I turn what is not only an interest or a talent or a skill that they have into something that is not relying on big corporations to sell it. Anyway, I've probably bored you now, so I will sign off. Thank you for listening, and until next time, goodbye.